said that there is a quorum present, Representative Menard, Representative Finkelstein, and Representative Donwood, and myself. And absent are Representative Zawacki and Hanley, and Representative Rick Boucher. On the agenda before us is the committee substitute for House Bill 563, and an act relating to the amount of a permanent fund dividend and to disclosures of amounts by which dividends are reduced and providing for an effective date. And we have Representative Phillips here to talk on this committee substitute. Representative Phillips.
Madam Chair, for the record, I'm Representative Randy Phillips from House District 15. Basically, yesterday morning, the subcommittee made up of Representative Finkelstein, Hanley, myself, and Representative Boucher went through the two bills. And essentially, what we've done is taken the bill, the State Affairs bill number, and used 563, inserting the contents of my bill, 381, I think it is, and putting in House Bill 563. And the only thing we took out of the original 563 is on page 1, line 17, the word dividend. Inserted that in too as well. That's the only thing that's the number and the the word dividend is the only thing, two things that are original from 563.
Are there any questions? For the record, Representative Hanley has joined us.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Maybe just a comment. I really appreciate Representative Phillips working with us on this. And this could have, I think we could have had a real problem if he had insisted on keeping his bill in his name. I appreciate the fact that I think this is a very reasonable solution. I think this is what we wanted to do. And the fact that he was willing to, this is what he felt was the best thing to do too, and was very willing to let this go ahead as a State Affairs committee bill, I think certainly expedited the process, and I really appreciate his cooperation in being able to do that.
Are there any other discussions?
Madam Chair,
we're here.
Yes, Representative Donald.
I'm interested in exploring the possibilities of the other issues that have arisen with the Department of Revenue. You know, it's no secret I've got a running disagreement with the Department of Revenue on this subject. And this bill highlights something that I've said all along. There was no need for the commissioner to put on the checks what he put on the checks or in the manner that he did so. The statute does not require that. And I think, he had his own reasons for doing it. And although I can't look into his mind and know exactly what they were, I mean, they certainly caused us a lot of problems, unnecessarily, I think. And he's been very resistive to doing any type of explanation about, you know, what happened last year. In fact, his position is that he'd rather ignore the whole problem and just hope it goes away. And I get the distinct feeling from people around here that's not what we want to do, is ignore the problem, but we want to address it and have an explanation provided to the people of what happened last year. And I'd like to think about this being the vehicle for maybe doing something like that too, because the only vehicle we've got now is just a House resolution that I put in on the last day, because we were supposed to talk about this a couple times in our caucus, but we never got to it before the last day for introducing bills. And so I was pushed up against the wall, so I went ahead and threw in just a HR. And I'd really like to consider, you know, doing something, if we've got a committee bill now to address that problem.
Representative Phillips?
Madam Chair, I assume, Dave, that you're talking about on the application. Just put an amendment in on this, and frankly, I don't have a problem with it. I believe that, the public should know what's happening, especially something like this. Current fund dividends. You have a right to know where the money is going to. And it shouldn't take too long to draft an amendment to tag this thing on. So.
Representative Donnelly.
You see, another reason, Madam Chair, I'd like to do it with something like this, because I can't get an answer. Two months ago, I asked them to tell me how much it would cost to put a piece of paper in the application books, and they won't tell me. And if we do it on this, then they'll have to give us a fiscal note by law. See, so at least I'll get an answer from them how much it would cost to put a piece of paper into, you know, the application books, right? And then I could make, you know, I don't know how much it costs. You know, maybe it's just a little tiny bit of money. Maybe it's a lot of money. Maybe it's not what we want to do. But I can't even get the information out of them to get an answer to that. So
why don't you just go ahead and as far as I'm concerned, if it doesn't take a day or two longer, just say you're going to put an amendment, you need a fiscal note for this committee, and bring it up tomorrow or whenever, and that's fine with me. I mean,
well, could
I know I know the circumstances of what you're working on.
Yeah.
I certainly agree with what you're trying to do.
Okay, thank you. Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you. Representative Donnelly, I'm not sure that the including a statement in the booklets while we're after. You and I had some discussion about this. I think that the statement ought to be a slip of paper in with the check itself. And I raised this question yesterday with the division, and they seemed to feel they could include the information they want to include on the stub itself. But my point was I didn't see a necessity for just fitting it onto that. I mean, I think if you have additional information, it could be put in a piece of paper, put it to all of them. I actually think we could amend it right now to that effect if everyone agreed that, and then we could find out in the next committee it goes to what the effect of that slip of paper would be in terms of cost. But I think even if we include it in the booklet, there's still going to be complaints when the dividend comes out because people aren't going to remember what it said in the booklet.
Representative Donnelly.
And in meeting with the department, they've told me that people don't read the booklet either. Right. They just want the check. They want to do the minimum necessary to get the check. So I think that may be a good point. And I agree with you, Representative Finkelstein. In fact, I was thinking kind of a dual front. The only way you're really going to get a lot of people educated is if you put something in the booklet and then you also put it in the check. And I agree with that too. And from a time point of view, maybe we're at the point where they've got to be in with the checks. They probably have more of an impact with the checks, you know. And it'd be nice if there was an explanation in the checks of how we changed the law or to and what happened last year. So, if I could get a chance to draft something up and bring it to the committee, and maybe the staff could let revenue know that there's a proposed amendment and the committee would need fiscal information ASAP about how much those two options would cost, putting the information in the checks and putting the information in the booklets. If we pick between the two or do both or neither or whatever.
Then could I get a commitment out of you to bring it up tomorrow or the next day?
Yeah, I can get something together by tomorrow.
Okay. Fine with me. Okay. I mean, I know what you're trying to do. I certainly agree with you. I think, you know, if you ask a question, you should get an answer even though you don't like it. You know?
the next... I apologize, Madam Chair. The next committee hearing would be Tuesday, since we don't meet on Fridays.
What's today, Thursday?
Today's Thursday.
I mean, you can't have a special meeting?
So we're lucky to have any meeting.
Well, I could. I think I could get something drafted on the fast track.
Yes, Representative Donnelly.
I think I can get something drafted and show it to you tomorrow.
That's fine. Bring it on Tuesday, then?
Could you pass the bill out with a conceptual amendment and we could deal with it expeditiously?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Representative Donnelly.
The only question is, would we, without the fiscal information, how would we decide whether to do both or only one? Okay. Or?
Oh, let's just go ahead and show it to me tomorrow.
Okay.
Tuesday. That's certain things.
Any further discussions? Thank you, Representative Phillips. Okay, if there's no further discussions on this bill, we will hold it for some further amendments. The next item on the agenda is House Bill 481. It's a bill, an act relating to state procurement of recycled paper and other products and to the state's use of paper, establishing a waste reduction and recycling task force, and providing for an effective date. Representative Finkelstein will be presenting his explanation of the House Bill 481.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The bill is a pretty straightforward attempt to try to get more use of recycled products in the state. The first level that it acts out, it says there's going to be a 10% price preference for recycled products, sort of across the board where there's comparable products. And for most products the state purchases, there aren't recycled products. It tends to end up being in the area of paper and a few other areas. But in the future, we may see an expansion of recycled products available, so we've made it as broad as possible there. The second level is that there will be a goal of 15% of recycled paper used in state procurement. And in 1994, that percent would go up to 25%. The agencies should comply with it unless they find that the costs aren't within the 10% preference or that the paper is not available. And there will be plenty of cases of both those types. The task force that's set up is just an internal task force within the government, within the state government, to try to consider ways to increase recycling and reduce waste of materials in state government. And the final aspect of the bill is that it sets a general policy where it's feasible to use both sides of paper when copying. I'd be glad to answer questions, and we have Bob Link from the department here to answer questions as well.
Are there any questions? Okay, we have Bob Link.
My name is Bob Link. I'm the Director of Division of Animal Services Supply. We buy most of the paper for the state. Several years ago, a piece of legislation was enacted which prevented discrimination against recycled products when they were equal. The problem has been to date is that recycled products, at least now, cost more to make than non-recycled products. There's limits in the economies of scale. Most people haven't wanted recycled products, which primarily in the discussion of bills is paper. People haven't wanted it. Now, it's as preferences are being enacted in other states, there's beginning to be increased demand for it, and we expect that sometime in the future prices will come down as people are more willing to use recycled paper. We've attached what we think is a modest fiscal note based on the present circumstances, which are the fact that recycled paper just costs more. And it's the assumption is that we'll buy recycled paper at the preference in the amount necessary to meet the goals. In addition, there's a modest contribution towards a 50-state project to have a uniform national specification for recycled paper so that the purchases done by all the states can drive the industry to produce something which is acceptable and which is uniform enough that will eventually yield the economies of scale which we get by all buying the same kind of paper now. Eventually we'll get the same economies of scale for recycled paper in the future. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The uniform paper idea in the states, what entity initiated that? That sounds very interesting.
There's an association in the Council of State Governments called the National Association of State Purchasing Officials. And the idea was is that this type of legislation is starting to appear in legislatures all across the country. And the question next let me go back a little bit. Is when people think of recycled paper, they think of the stuff which came out a couple of years ago, which is sort of gray and has some sort of wood chips in it. It looks a little, it looks like the stuff which we learned how to write in grade school with the great big pencils. And what they found that nobody really wanted to use that except for the real enthusiasts in the area. So what they started developing was what they call paper with recycled content. And they throw most recyclable paper in the machine with virgin fibers, and they come out with paper which looks almost as good, or in some cases just as good as your regular paper. And so they are recycling, but not selling as 100% recycled paper. So the question is what constitutes sufficient recycled content in order to make it contribute something good to the environment, still be acceptable. And the idea was that if we have 50 different states buying different percentages of recycled content, we won't drive the industry to produce paper in quantities in order to get us economies of scale. So the idea is to get all 50 states together and meet with the also with feds and with paper manufacturers and try and come up with a standard for recycled content.
Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Link? Thank you very much. We also have Vicki Baker to testify.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Vicki Baker, and I'm representing the Alaska Environmental Lobby. I'm a volunteer for the lobby, and I'm here simply to offer our strong support for 41. We feel that since the state is probably the largest paper user in the state, Nova's figures that it will be particularly effective, this move, and in helping to reduce the waste stream and probably stimulate recycling in the private sector as well. And we also feel that the task force will bring about more innovative recycling programs, and I just want to thank the state for being a leader in the recycling program.
Thank you very much, Ms. Baca. Any questions?
Madam Chairman, I have the amendment that I want to offer to it. And it's supposed to be in the packet, but I can't find it. Does anyone have an amendment in their packet? Yes.
I could. No.
Okay. It's about the fourth page back. Fifth page back. Some of them have them, and some of them don't. I'm sure.
You don't have one.
Maybe just make one more copy for David. Actually, I can describe it real quickly. David, if you got the bill in front of you, the first amendment is on page 3, line 7. Remove the word by regulation. This section is about, refers to the point that Mr. Link made about establishing minimum percentage of recycling content, and it seems an area that they can do just by policy rather than by regulation. It's a fairly complex area, and they need to be able to react pretty quickly. The second one is page 3, line 10 through 17, just to eliminate D and E. Section D came out of other procurement cases, and it isn't as applicable here. It costs the department a large amount of money to proceed with that approach. It's more fitting to the in-state procurement preferences we have. And E, there's actually stronger penalties than this in the existing procurement code, and so there's no necessity for E. Those are the only changes.
Representative Brown.
I move the amendments.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor to move the amendments. Any objections? Motion carried. We have before you, for your consideration, House Bill 481. Representative Menard.
Madam Chair, if there's no further discussion, I would make a motion to move House Bill number 481.
As amended.
From the committee with individual recommendations.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor to move House Bill 481 as amended from the committee with individual recommendations. Any objections? Motion carried. The next item on the agenda is House Concurrent Resolution 48, 24th Annual Boys State. And it's an act relating to the 24th Annual Boys State.
Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Monty Smith, legislative aide, Representative Jean Cabina.
Representative Cabina, apologize for not being here this morning. Madam Chair, if it pleases the committee, could I address House Concurrent Resolution 48 and 49 together?
Okay, that would be good.
Thank you. ACR 48 is relating to the 24th Annual Boys State, and ACR 49 is relating to the 22nd Annual Girls State. Every year, the American Legion offers a week-long program in mock government to outstanding young men and women in their junior year of high school. They participate in many different aspects of government, relating anywhere from running for office themselves, or running a campaign, and it offers them an invaluable glimpse of what makes a system work. The two resolutions were introduced to acknowledge the efforts of the organizers and the participants, and to encourage you, the legislators, public and state agencies, private individuals, and organizations to assist in any way possible, which would enable the program to run with as much state cooperation as we can provide.
Okay, are there any questions for Monty Smith? Thank you. Representative Zawacki?
No question, Jim. I just thought nobody had any questions.
No, I was just going to make a comment. I was involved. In fact, I've been involved the last 2 years in the mock government through one of the high schools that I represent in the district. It was kind of unique because the entire program was put on by the students. They put the program together, they ran it totally, and they finished. And it was definitely interesting. And as you said, they elected local government representatives, they elected state government representatives, they elected governors and presidents. And it was definitely a unique thing. And all of the teachers and administrators said it was just kind of have an oversight. If you ever get a chance to do it, and apparently you have, it's exceptionally well run. And those kids have to be commended for it. So, resolution acknowledging that out there and asking people to assist with it is an excellent idea.
Thank you. Representative
Thank Harris. You. I just wanted to comment as well. I've been very impressed with both Boys State and Girls State. I've had the opportunity to witness the closing ceremony when one of our sons went to Boys State, and I know as many of you will find this difficult to believe, but I attended Girls State more than 22 years ago. But
a week or two ago.
Yeah, in fact, at all my old things in the trunk, I found my book from Girls State with all these little signatures on it and everybody's autograph. I think they're great programs, and really, I think get the kids focused in on government. They do a lot of parliamentary procedure. Really learn some of the protocol of how bills are passed and how things happen and the proper parliamentary kinds of procedure for what they're trying to accomplish. But I was impressed when I spoke at Girls State here a couple of years ago. In fact, I've got another invitation to go up this year, but I did go up a couple of years ago and spoke in Fairbanks at Girls State. And I think Boys State is usually at Camp Carroll in Anchorage, and Girls State is usually at the university. But they're excellent programs, and I think they're just I'm just pleased that they're ongoing, and I really do commend the sponsors and the people that make them happen. They're excellent.
Thank you, Representative Hanley. Representative Donnelly.
If there's no further discussion, Madam Chair, I move HCR 49 and HCR 48 with individual recommendations.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor to move HCR 48 and 49 out of committee with individual recommendations. Any objections? Hearing none, motion carried.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. We have before you, for your consideration, House Bill 468, an act establishing Marmot Day and designating the official state marmot. Representative Menard?
My art bill.
Like your art bill?
He's coming back.
We should do a combination.
A marmot and art
bill. Who hasn't heard this bill before?
Really? That might work.
We're going from moose to marmot this year. Both are on the forefront. Well, Madam Chair, this legislation, of course, every time it grinds me a little bit when I hear on the radio that we go to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, or wherever it is, to honor the groundhog on February 2nd. And we always say we're different in Alaska. And we have a marmot that the Alaska Zoo, his name is Smoke Alarm, and he's been kind of lazy here on February 2nd, and we would like to
chase him out of his little thing there and see if we could see his shadow. And if we could see his shadow, of course, then we would only have 6 more weeks of winter. And we hope that this year, I don't think it would be a good one. But next year, hopefully, he'll come out of retirement. We'll see his shadow, and we'll have our own local hair policy and our own local marmot instead of Groundhog Day.
Thank you, Representative Menard. Are there any questions, Representative Finkelstein?
I'm just wondering if the sponsor is willing to accept amendment, say instead of the official state marmot, the official state rodent. I think that would be a little better.
Is this resolution going to Judiciary Committee?
You know, if you restrict this to state marmots, you might get a veto. You might have to just open it up to more than just Alaskan marmots.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what happened to my art, though.
Oh, really?
Tell the marmot to get involved in Piranha and lighten up his day and everybody else's.
That'd be great. Yeah, we could have one upload. His name is Smoke Alarm.
Okay, we have House Bill 468 for your consideration. Representative Donnelly?
Move the bill with individual recommendations.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor to move the bill with individual recommendations. Any objections? Hearing none, motion carried. We have House Joint Resolution 69 before you. Representative Jaco, will you be presenting this?
I've never given this a due pass before, but this year, just go away.
I threw that local hire in there for you.
Representative Jack.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you for scheduling the bill. House Joint Resolution 69 would allow alias to be included under Native visa-free agreement in the event of another future agreement. The resolution asks that the United States and the Soviet governments include the Aleut people among the natives allowed to travel between the Soviet Far East and Alaska on the future Native visa-free agreements. As you might remember, this agreement was signed last September to allow the Inuit people on both sides of the Bering Strait to travel back and forth visa-free. At the time the agreement was signed, it was felt that if the Aleut people were included, it would be too large a group allowed to travel visa-free and the agreement might not be signed. So only the Inuits were allowed to travel under that particular agreement. In the event of another future agreement, the resolution asks that the Aleuts be given visa-free status also. Historically, the Aleut people have had the longest contact with the Soviet relatives, and it would be appropriate to include them if the agreement were renegotiated. The committee substitute makes a few minor changes to the original legislation. We have added blood relatives to those people who would qualify, and we also changed USSR on line 22 and 29 to read Russian people. I wanted to find the exact number of Aleuts residing in Alaska that would be affected by this legislation, but that was difficult. It seems that Aleuts has come to be a generic term. According to the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, the Aleut has 1/4 blood quantum. Blood amendments to ANCSCA allowed for relatives and descendants of Aleuts to qualify as shareholders, which is part of the reason we added those people to our resolution. The Konyak people the Konyak Corporation has 3,400 Aleut shareholders, but that only means that they're 1/4. And the Aleut Corporation has over 1,800. And if you ask an anthropologist who qualifies as an Aleut and how many there are in the state, you'd get many different answers that there are anthropologists. There should be a map in your committee fact which shows Alaska and the Soviet Union. And I brought additional copies that I'll pass out to you if you need them. And you'll note that the Komodorsky Islands down on the bottom right of the map, there are the place where the Soviets reside, and I've been told that there are approximately 600 Aleuts. Are full-blooded Aleuts, and many more that are part-time Aleuts that reside on those islands. I don't know, like I said, I don't know how many full-blooded Aleuts there are in Alaska, but I don't think there's anywhere near 600 left here in Alaska, so it's a real find to find 600 Aleuts that are full-blooded. It's pretty exciting, actually. On a trip this fall to the Soviet Far East, we met with people from the Kamchatka Peninsula, and they were real excited about having visa-free exchanges, real supportive of it, but encouraged us to pursue it and that they would like to pursue it also. So, if there are any questions, you can answer.
Okay, are there any questions for Representative Jaco? Thank you very much. Yes, Representative Donnelly.
Madam Chair, I move the resolution in the bill. Yeah, I move the resolution, individual recommendations.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor to move the committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 69 out of committee with individual recommendations. Any objections? Motion carried. This will conclude our meeting. As
good,
soon as you send the
hearing, Madam Chair.
Thanks.